Welcome to episode 43 of the Healthy Church Grow Show podcast. Thank you for joining me. So today, this episode is going to take a slight departure in that I'm being interviewed instead of doing the interviewing. You'll hear my conversation with John Porterfield, who is an expert in live streaming, and he's based in California. John's helped me and other leaders I know to get to grips with the tech that we've all had to get used to since the pandemic began. Now, we'll be talking about the state of online church from a UK perspective, but very, very relevant to any church across the world. And this is from my findings as a consultant who works with churches, and I've done a little bit of research and just talking to other people and asking them about their experience. But before we go to that conversation with John Porterfield, can I ask you something? Are you enjoying this podcast? If you are, then would you consider leaving a review to help other leaders to find it on either iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you listen to podcasts on? Thank you in advance. And now my conversation with John Porterfield.
Hey everybody, welcome to another JP's Chalk Talk session. I had a video I posted on my YouTube channel with Madge Obisky. She's going to correct me when I'm wrong here because I think I just didn't do the name right. It's an American thing. So Madge is over the pond in London. We're going to talk about the state of the online church, and she's going to talk about what is currently going on. Hey Madge, how are you?
Hey.
I just Madge just coached me and I didn't do very well. So
what did I coach you in?
My proper pronunciation of her last name. And for some reason, the crazy American here just cannot.
You know, I was saying to my husband, you know, the other day that, you know, Americans have their own slant on the language. But you know what? I forgive you. You're my brother. And I forgive you. And I'm Madge Obasaki.
Obasaki.
For everybody that's listening.
Thank you, Madge. Madge, just, okay. You know, actually, you guys have a better handle on the English language than we do. So, you know, we kind of, we'll give you guys the credit and everything due. Some may disagree with me on that, but I actually don't. So, because, you know.
You know the old saying, America sneezes and the rest of the world catches a cold. So we need to work together.
We do. We need your help. So Madge, thank you for taking the time to get on here with us and talk to us about kind of what's going on over there in your area with the church. But let's take a moment maybe to let you formally introduce yourself, your focus, and outside of your podcast, I know you're doing quite a bit there. So you have the floor for a moment to go ahead and just, why don't we just do that?
So I'm Madge Obasaki. I'm actually an ordained minister, and I work with churches as a consultant to help them primarily to look at retention, which has things have changed this year, of course, because we're still in a pandemic. And so I'm helping churches to navigate their way through these issues. And we have been looking for the last few months at online, what it means to the church and how they can continue to evangelize and also disciple. My background is business, so I am a qualified HR professional, but my specialism is training and organizational development, so all links into the church anyway. I have had multiple businesses in my lifetime as well. So I'm a bit of an entrepreneur too. I also am the host of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast, which is for church leaders and gives 101 style information on a massive range of subjects, everything from fundraising to pastoral care. And of course, I spoke to the lovely John Porterfield about the basics of online streaming. And we're going to continue that today.
Absolutely. So, Matt, one of the topics to cover today is all of you there on in the UK have been in lockdown a couple times this year, at least, and amongst other parts of the world because of the pandemic, and we've seen this state of change. What the current climate?
Well, in March, to be precise, March the 23rd, 2020, which feels like about 10 years ago, because we've done and been through so much. Leaders in the church, not necessarily the senior leader, but leaders in the church, suddenly, like everywhere else, got thrown into the deep end because they were told that they could not meet, they were not able to. And that actually happened over nearly a three-month period. Now, at the time that that happened, people basically grabbed hold of anything that they knew about. Mm-hmm. And that was initially Facebook Live, because a lot of the leaders that I personally work with as a consultant are of a kind of age group where Facebook is familiar to them. And then as a secondary, within a few weeks, people had discovered Zoom. I used Zoom 4 years ago before people really knew what it was about in the business space. But then all of a sudden people were using Zoom because they thought that was the next best thing. And thank God for Zoom. And so people have been using Zoom, possibly they got, as I say, swept along by the Zoom room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I've been talking to church leaders in the last couple of days and asked them why they use Zoom. And it's because it's easy. And frankly, a lot of them said, because there were private conversations, it's economical for them. Mm-hmm. And they can jump on and off it. And people that are using it, i.e. the people that are coming into the room, can also use it easily. So those were the three basic things. Mm-hmm. They didn't necessarily have the time at the time to look at what's out there, what tools are out there. What's happened in the last couple of months, though, is because at the beginning people went online and they saw an exponential rise in the amount of people online, they got very excited. But in retrospect, and once we come out of this first lockdown, which happened around about, I think it was June, it might have been July, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But once we came out of it and we were able to go back to our assemblies, people looked back and thought, but we had all these online visitors, but they haven't translated into turning them into a community. Why is that exactly? And so what people have now understood or started to understand is that there might be limitations in the tools that they were using to build community, if that's what they wanted to do. Because what I have noticed is some of the churches are using the tool like Zoom, for instance, and there's some others that I've got listed here. In fact, I've got a tiny report that I've done based on my conversations over the last few days. And some of the churches are actually using conference calling. Mm-hmm. Some of them are using a webinar platform called GoTo, and only one out of the many people that I've spoken to use StreamYard, which you kindly introduced to me. They know about that. And OneStream, which I didn't know about until a few days ago. Mm-hmm. So most people are going for what everybody else is using and what they know about. And let's face it, they're pastors, they're church leaders, they're ministers. They're not there to study or understand technology. So that's where people were. And when people came out of it, they decided that perhaps the streaming, online streaming, might be something that they could do if they had no choice. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is to get back to in-person services, and then that online stuff would be somewhere in the background. That was the general impression I got.
It's kind of an area that I'm going to separate conversation that I'll be putting in another video that I did a recording with Amazon earlier this year, where we talked about church and media. And I think that you're hitting on a key area of that pain point, if you will. That's the way I best way to describe it, is the complexity of technology, where you and I talked about that. And you asked me a great question. What would be my availability and servicing to these pastors or people in the area? And that is bringing that expertise versus taking a stack of papers or going online, trying to find all this information and helping accelerate that. So it's interesting that you talk about that. So as they do that, do you see that, or the responses that you're seeing from the individuals you spoke with in these platforms? I would take it that this is kind of one of the challenges we talked about of the technology, but then at the same time, there's the online ministry team. How do you develop that online, that team that's going to support those people and engage, like, you, for follow-up in terms of decision follow-up or discipleship and those type of activities?
Honestly, a lot of the assemblies, the majority of assemblies really have not worked that out. In fact, I spoke to a few of the leaders and they're doing it themselves between the senior pastor and the wife. And it's the two of them trying to do everything. I know that across the board, I know there are others that are much more advanced in terms of building a team of people to do that. I happen to have worked with a couple of younger churches who are doing just that. But I just find generally that the senior leaders tend to have most of the response or take on most of that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Not sure why. It seems to be something that's fairly traditional in the church world. You know, the senior leader is the font of all knowledge. And they either expect themselves to take on those roles, or other people expect them to take on those roles. But I'm concerned about people's mental well-being as well. And one of the things I've seen, and I have actually suffered from myself, is burnout. And so what I would say, not that you've asked me, but I would say that one of the big issues is moving into 2021 is to find people with the gifts to really support the mission, because there are people out there that are willing and able to do just that. Online is very challenging, as we know. You're a professional, and even you will say there are challenges there. I'm not speaking as an online professional. I've just gone into this because I'm a consultant, and I feel like the church has a massive responsibility and also massive opportunity to go out there and spread the good news by using technology cleverly. But John, I have actually been able to speak to a pastor who wasn't in my immediate network. The great news is, if people harness the technology and really plan, and that's another thing I would say, they'll need to do some planning and strategizing to make it all work. But they are doing an amazing job, all with technology. And what I have noticed is they're mixing it with some of the traditional methods, like picking up the phone and phoning people, using snail mail for people that perhaps older and don't understand the technology. They're using conference calling. They're recording the sermons and then putting it on a phone line so people can actually hear that. Wow. So you can use technology very, very cleverly. It's not always about streaming. It's not always about playing a video on YouTube or watching it later. It's about the whole thing, the holistic view of what it means to communicate in a very, very different way.
Now, I think that you kind of hit it right on the nail, that, you know, while technology, we say, is kind of it's a tool, it's not the means to replace the relationship. However, for the church, this is somewhat kind of a compounded issue, because traditionally, you're right, we have reached out in different ways physically in fellowship. Now we got to think about, and I love what you said, planning, because I think that's really the key area that we need is the planning approach. And it is, in terms of my background from doing corporate strategic relations and everything, we often use the terms a multi-prong approach. And what does that really mean? It just means that you're taking an approach to deliver in many different directions. There's not one specific area that's going to be just the specific one that we're going to use. We may be, but we have to really think outside the lines a bit or outside the box to really think about how we take that and deliver to get, you know, for the goal or give it over the goal line. In this case, the goal line is for the glory of the Lord. Often when I did live streaming, and a book that my dad, who's a retired pastor, gave to me, was we talked about the four areas that we look at in terms of ministry. There is the reach, to be able to reach people where they're at, via technology or meeting them in person or calling them on the telephone. And then there's the teaching component, right? And then teaching them. And then there's the training component, the discipleship. And then there's the sending. And as you talked about the pastor and the senior pastoral staff, or the pastor and his wife, or the individuals involved in terms of pastoral leadership as a whole, is having a team, people come alongside of you in the ministry, whether they're on staff or not, to share that goal and that mission of the ministry to make an impact in the local area and the communities. And I think there's, you know, as we talk about that, this is the opportunity we have. You hit it right. I think you hit on the next topic we were going to talk about is.
Absolutely. I mean, you were talking about that word opportunity. As somebody sent me a report from an organization based in the UK called the All Churches Trust. Mm-hmm. And they provide funding for social action and charities, as we call them, nonprofits over here. They were talking about the changing face of church communications. And I'm looking down because I've got the top line results here. Now, it's really interesting because they were asked, what form of communication did you use before the coronavirus? I'm just going to precise this. Face-to-face or in person, 63%. When it came to social online sources, 0%. Then it says, what form of communication did you use during the coronavirus lockdown? It says here 22.9% online. So from 0 to 22.9% for other forms. It altogether, it was 37% for online from 0. Yeah.
Wow.
And then it says, and what do you expect to be doing in the next year? And this is where I was a bit surprised, because they've now decided that next year is going to be a normal year. According to this, 45% they feel will be face to face. So not as much as before at 63%, but it's still at 45%. And they might have 29%. Down from 37% online. So what this tells me in a very unscientific way is people are still feeling like online is a secondary. But I believe, and we mentioned this so many times, this hybrid effect, mm-hmm. I think personally is here to stay. And whether we're in the UK as I am, or whether you're over in America, or we're in, go over to Korea, where we've got lots of Christians there, I think this hybrid is here to stay. So we can marry the physical, and we all know that we want that human relationship, and we understand that. But there are people that will never walk into your local church. They will never, because either they don't live in the same area, or they just don't feel inclined. They may have been hurt by another assembly at some point, mm-hmm. and they want to stay away. But in the comfort of their own room, in their own home, they've got access to online and they can re-engage again. So we need to think about that. And also we need to think about the billions and billions of people that are out there looking for hope, looking for faith, looking for God, As Google has revealed that they were the top searches at the beginning of the pandemic, those people are looking for something. And we have that brand. We already have it in abundance. But now what we've got to do is to make ourselves available. So that's why I think, John, that hybrid is here to stay. And I'd be really happy with that.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that's a reality in many ways that we need to really just accept. And that's not a negative. It's just the reality of the landscape we're dealing with. There's two things that come to my mind, but the first one is you said that and stating that, I think that is interesting is that we have so much depth of ready of material for ministry, to minister to others, to help teach and help for themselves, for the individual to have that change in their life of the transitioning of their heart in their walk with the Lord to be open in those hurts and those things that may have been encountered at a local level to be restored and to see themselves restored, what the Lord wants to do in their own lives and how, and that's the beauty of the ministry that Jesus came is to bring hope. And I think in the midst of the situation, people go like, you know, yeah, we're in a valley at times and there's no doubt about that. But, you know, back to Psalms 23, his rod and his staff comfort me. Can people understand what that interpretation of what Jesus is really saying? He brings comfort in the midst of our sorrow, of the challenges, of the overwhelming obstacles that we may be facing, and that there is a hope and hope in the Lord. And at the same time, I think of Pastor Jay John in the UK. And so he was in the airport and he uses the analogy that, you know, that somebody said, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm in a global enterprise business. And she goes, oh, really? And she goes, well, what type of business? He says, well, we're in hospitals, schools, we're in every community, we're in everything. And she goes, that's awesome. What is it called? The church, right?
And I love Jay John. Love him.
He's awesome. And we had him a couple of times. I do too. I always think, and we always think of him on here in the state. Don't ask us. We call him Mr. Bean because he looks like Mr. Bean when he comes over. I don't know if he likes it or not. But anyways, we had him at Harvest.
I suppose it depends on where you are as to whether that's a compliment or not.
Yes, exactly. He took it in stride. He thought, you know, again, you can chalk it off to the crazy Americans and everything else, the way we view things in life. So we have we're the way we filter and look through the lens of life sometimes. But you know, what he really brought was the reality of the opportunity and what you're speaking towards. In the hybrid model, we can still be effective as we look to the Lord, and we absolutely need to look to the Lord. In Second Chronicles, you know, going back to that, you know, if my people will come and humble themselves and pray and seek me. That's the time opportunity we have as a church right now to seek the Lord, to look for his direction and to say, okay, Lord, you know, we don't know what the days are ahead of us, but you are our front guard and our rear guard. You're the one that's going to bring us through. And so I think there's an opportunity, and for others who may have walked away from the church, wouldn't enter the door of the church because they don't have a relationship with the Lord, as you shared in those stats. There's an opportunity here, and there's always an opportunity to bring that message of hope, the good news of the gospel, to a hurting heart. Thank you for sharing that, Madge. We just need to be working together. We need to set aside some of the differences that we may have and really focus on the Lord as the center, that we encourage one another in the word, in psalms, in hymns, and we look to pray and lift each other up. And so that's what I'm going to be doing for you, is you are there for so many of your peers and others that are there in ministry to pray and to ask the Lord to bring a wholeness as we go through this together and to continue the dialogue of communication. Thank you, Madge, so much for your time.
Thank you.
What a blessing. I really appreciate it.
Bless you. Bless you. One thing I want to say before we say goodbye is, I would encourage any church leader that might listen to this, wherever you are, whether it's in the UK, USA, wherever you are, to reach out to experts like John Porterfield and find out after you've done your prayer, after you've done your strategizing, you might need somebody to help steer you to the right tools, which will help you to meet your mission. And that might be different from one local assembly to the other. So reach out to people like John who can actually help you to work out, rather than wasting the sort of time that I've seen wasted with, you know, somebody texted me today and said, I'm having real problems with Zoom. If you've got any ideas, I'd like to hear them. So there are people out there, they need help. Reach out to John, his team, or anybody that's in the local area that has got the knowledge that can help you to meet the mission.
Amen. Thank you. And just in reciprocal, and let me reciprocate for Matt, for you as well as Madge. I mean, your podcast and what you're doing and of your time to help and speak with others, just as I speak to others in the techie community, and what we talk about, right? You're doing the same in your ways, and you're taking efforts to work with others and to help broaden the scope of the dialogue, so to speak, to help truly keep those communication channels going right now that we need to have, right? And that dialogue with those in ministry. So, and remain hopeful that the future, while we may be dealing with challenges, there is a future and there is a hope, and his name is Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. If you enjoyed the show, let us know what you think by leaving feedback on any podcast platform you listen to podcasts on. Don't forget to share this link with fellow ministers and church leaders, and join us every Monday for another episode of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast.